Weekend Breakfast on 702. Let's walk the talk.
Very good to have you with us. Very excited about the next segment. Really tweaks all my buttons. Talking of tweaking buttons, we've got a WhatsApp note to play to you. So just listen to this before we speak to Sandra.
What Prinsen. A voice, Jane. Puccini's Madame Butterfly was my mom's favourite, and I had the words written on our window with dry white pen up till a few months ago. I'm no singer, but I do love singing opera lately. And talking about maths, I failed my trigonometry exam hopelessly. And I know that's why I didn't do very well in matric at the final, because I actually was quite good at maths until trig came along. And I realized when I was an adult doing stained glass work that you have to know what a thing is for before you really understand it. And I used trigonometry when designing a circular stained glass, well, made with the Tiffany method, object, which required trigonometry to work out the size of the pieces and the angles. So, yeah, knowing why you do something is important and could help to understanding maths and, of course, anything else. Lots of love from Karen in Cape Town.
Thank you very much, Karen in Cape Town. Quite a few people have also asked me how they can capture this show a little later on by listening to podcasts. You can go to 702.co.za and you can find the show and others by logging on to that and looking for the podcast.
702 podcasts are on 702.co.za.
So imagine having a masterclass with Maria Callas, one of the greatest opera divas of our times. One of the most incredible sopranos, and what a conflicted, extraordinary life she had. I had to do a bit of a swatting before I went and saw the play with Sandra Prinsloo on it on Thursday. And I was just reminded of what a genius she was, and how sad she was in equal measure. Sandra Prinsloo, a very good morning to you.
Morning, Jane.
So I'm sorry I didn't see you after the play on Thursday. I trekked all the way to Monte Cassino. You're going to have a putt course in your car to get there. But I was exhausted afterwards. It was so draining. I should imagine it must be draining for you too.
Yes, it is. I must say it's a marathon every night, but it's also wonderful to do. You know, it's a great challenge. But it's good too. You know what I mean.
Tell us about the play and what the aim is of it.
I think it really is a masterclass that she's giving, and using the audience as students or, you know, people from the masterclass. And then she has three singers on stage and, of course, an accompanist, a pianist. And really the play for me, at the end, what Terence McNally did, I mean, he adored Maria Callas, and he did go to her, Terence McNally being playwright, and he adored Maria Callas, and he went to some of her master classes, and years later decided to write a play about it. So we don't only learn about her sort of conflicted life, as you rightly said, you know, it's a deeply tragic life in many ways. But also, McNally does but actually some of the stuff she says at the end of the play is stuff that comes from a masterclass, and it really is about why art, you know, why do we do art, what is the value, why should we bother, you know, with art. So it is about Maria Callas, and she reminisces about her past, or she goes into a sort of backward flip into her past. But it is also about art in a greater sense of the word.
So he wrote about her because he adored her. Did you adore her as you were learning your lines and learning more about her?
Oh, absolutely. An enormous amount of research, and just so much time for her. Really sort of quite fell in love with her. You know, it was quite an extraordinary woman. And as I said, you know, a tragic woman in the end, because there were the two people. There was Callas and there was Maria. So Callas being the great superstar, the diva, I think she probably was one of the greatest superstars ever. And for that, for an opera singer, I think it's quite an achievement. The public adored her. She was a semi-goddess, you know. And Then there was Maria, who just wanted to actually have a child, be married, and have quite a life. No. And as the pressures of singing and stardom became more and more, she more and more didn't want to sing or couldn't sing, didn't know how to handle the pressure of being that diva, although she enjoyed it in public. To get on stage was very hard for her in the end. So, and then, of course, she fell in love with Onassis, which was, and it's very tragic because he loved her, but he never committed in the way that that she committed to him. And she loved him till her death, you know. Mm. And I really think she died of a broken heart.
Before we talk a little bit more about that relationship and also the way she found out about who he got married to, which wasn't her, let's play Bellini. That's the first aria that was performed on stage. And then you can tell us afterwards why this was important to her life story. Gets to your soul, doesn't it? Gets to every bit of your body.
I'll tell you why. When I first heard Maria and what she did for me, you know.
What happened?
I was quite young, and I was visiting a friend in Durban who was a singer and organist, and he had to go and do something, and he said, look, I'm going to put on a video for you, and you're going to watch it. It was a tape in those days, you know, in a VHS tape. And it was Maria Callas doing a concert. And I never liked opera before because, you know, with my student years, I worked backstage sometimes as part of my training in the opera. And I couldn't get into opera. All these people standing on stage and shrieking and looking at the conductor. You know? And then I saw Maria, and I saw the artistry and what she put into it emotionally. And as you say, it gets to your soul. And I just started crying. And I said, yes, no, now I understand. I can do opera. So Maria changed that for me. You know, she shifted me into a place where I could embrace opera, whereas before I never could.
Isn't that feeling so beautiful? Yeah. I remember the first time it happened to me, I was at the Vatican City. I looked at a work of art and I started crying. I didn't even realize I was crying, but the tears were just pouring out. And ever since then, art took a different shift in my system. And now, I mean, the tears just come freely, but I love it. It's the most beautiful feeling. It's so rich.
No, it is. It's wonderful because it's so it feeds you, doesn't it? It's just marvelous. Yeah.
You know what I loved about the show was so we have the masterclass, and then you start talking. Maria starts talking and reflecting, and you see the relationship that plays out with her and between her and her lover. And you've got those grainy pictures in the background. That was very powerful.
Oh, yes. Of course, I never see that.
No. Well, I can tell you they were. It worked. So tell us more about her big love. I mean, she loved him, and you know, there were rumors that she fell pregnant. She wasn't able to keep the child, and then he left her for somebody possibly even more famous.
Yes, I think he was trophy hunting, you know, it's as simple as that. Mm. He had to have Maria. In the beginning of their relationships, he would fill every hotel room. She was still married to Meneghini at the time. He would fill every hotel room and every hotel with flowers, with roses, and hundreds of bouquets of roses. So, I mean, that's very seductive, you know, when somebody pursues you in such a romantic way, I suppose. Oh, yeah. And she fell very, very much in love with him, and then both being Greek, of course, as well. And apparently they could really discuss a lot of topics together. But it was never enough for Onassis, you know. He had to find somebody. And she, although she knew about the existence of Jackie and Jackie being around, she didn't actually know that he was going to marry her. Mm. They sort of had many rows about Jackie because she was not invited on board Christina, the yacht, when Jackie was there. And, you know, obviously she was incredibly upset about that. And he literally broke her heart. Yes, Jackie Kennedy. I always think everybody knows, but they don't.
Yes, I mean, they probably do, but just in case.
Yeah, you're quite right. And even after his marriage to Jackie, I mean, he left her on Scorpius Island, which was his private island, after 2 days after the marriage was, made. So for him, it was never about the love. I think it was about the conquest.
Mm.
And he went back to Maria quite soon after he married Jackie. He went back to Maria, and they were photographed at Maxime's, the famous restaurant in Paris. And Jackie, when she saw that picture, of course, immediately flew back and made sure that they got a booking at the very same table as Maxime's the following night. Yeah. And their picture was taken. And Maria was shattered. She actually was shattered. There was rumors of her trying to take her life. Mm. She ended up in hospital, which the Callas camp said, no, it wasn't. She just, you know, had some sort of accident with the pills. But, you know, how do you have an accident with pills? Anyway. Mm. So she was absolutely shattered, absolutely hospital. And to the end, you know, she was friends with him. And he also felt terribly excluded when his son died and his first wife, Tina, died. And he was shattered by that. But in the end, he was his own downfall, you know.
Mm.
And in a way, she was hers because...
That's right. They marry each other in so many ways. Let's listen to Verdi, the Vieni Affrettati from Macbeth.
Del re mi salutaron sir di caudome vaticinio uscito dalle veggenti stesse che predissero un serto al capo mio. Racchiudi in cor questo segreto, addio. Ambizioso spirito, tu sei Macbetta, alla grandezza neri ma sarai tu. Oh!
Sandra, and I'm speaking to Sandra Prinsloo, by the way. If you've just tuned in and you'd like to ask her something or send her a message, please do so. Sandra, interesting exchange between Maria Callas and a student there over this, you know, the setup when she walks into the room. And Maria's quite callous, isn't she, in dealing with her students. Do you feel that she was losing it there? And I mean, you touched on it about how hard that must be when you start feeling that you're no longer relevant or being as effective as you could be.
Yeah. You know, I watched some of her masterclasses. She was pretty tough for the students. Mm. I think McNally made it tougher than what she was. You know, we must always remember it's McNally's Maria as well that we're looking at. So I think she was tough. But she, you see, people accuse her of being horrible and ghastly and impossible to work with. And Visconti always, the director, Luchino Visconti, always said, no, that is not true. He's never had a problem with Maria because she was as great a perfectionist as he was. And she was. She was an absolute perfectionist. Mm. So in the end, she also says, you know, if you think I've been tough, you know, it's because I've been tough on myself. Because she always wanted to be better. And she wanted everybody around her to be better. She wanted the opera to be better, to the production to be better. And she was quite tough when it came to that. You know, she would demand. And she got very, very impatient with other singers who, you know, were coasting along and who didn't really care and thought it was good enough just to have a good voice. For her, it was not. You had to be a rounded artist, you know. You had to work with feeling and emotion, and you had to work with all sorts of other tools at the artist's disposal. And so she was tough in that way, but it was not just because she was being a diva or being silly, you know. She was really for a reason. It was, and the reason was to be the best you could be. And I applaud that, you know.
I mean, you've spoken about difficult spaces to venture into as an actress. I'm sure you have to go there many times, and I guess it's important that you fall in love with your character too.
Yes, for me it is. I like falling in love with my character. One sees the flaws, but you, yeah, it is important. I mean, I got into discussions and into arguments in a rehearsal room because I would always be defending Maria, and I say, yes, but you know,
she wouldn't do this.
Seeing it from her point of view, I said, of course, I'm only seeing it from her point of view. There is no other point of view.
and getting into character, I was reading about when you said you were in the 80s. And director Barney Simon sent you into the streets of Newtown to get into character as an asylum inmate. I mean, that must have been pretty tough. That must have been one of the hardest.
That was very hard. It was very hard. It was also very hard to perform every night as somebody who was, she was a very difficult character to do because she kept falling asleep and, you know, to try and act and try and not fall asleep and be deranged. It was pretty tough. Yes, it was pretty tough.
And what's next for you?
Well, I'm busy at the moment with another play as well called Die Mutter. It's the translation into Afrikaans of the French play, The Mother. Mm-hmm. And there's a trilogy, The Father, The Mother, and The Son. So we're doing Die Mutter at first at the Karkar in Kar, and directly after that at the Baxter Theatre. So that's also a very, very challenging, enormously challenging part, but also a joy to do. It's about a mother who has empty nest syndrome and is basically falling apart at the seams. You know, she has a psychotic breakdown. So it's a marvelous play, marvelously directed by young Christian Ohlwacher. So I've been rehearsing that in the day and doing colors at night while we were in Cape Town. So
wow.
That was pretty challenging.
Respect. You know, I grew up in Sasselburg, and there was the most amazing theater there. I think it was called the Etienne Rousseau, and that was before Ace and his cronies went and helped destroy Sassel. And my father used to, in that they were part of the amateur dramatics, and he used to direct, and my mom used to act. And I used to lie in the bed with her and learn her lines with her. And the whole process, it's such a beautiful process, isn't it? I love how you get into it, and it almost, it kind of takes over your life. And the thing that underlines it all, though, is it's a passion, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I must say, you know, in a role like Callas, it's all consuming. It really is. It takes over your life. I haven't had a life for quite a while now. it really is, because you have to spend all your time in a part as big as this, you know, because it is 50 pages of almost monologue. You have to just give all your energy, all your time, all your passion to it. You know, you can't sort of have a normal life at all.
Mm. And how do you study? Yeah, I mean, do you have a quick... I mean, I'm sure you've mastered it by now, and you're probably somebody that doesn't need lion's mane. I don't know if you heard us talking about it earlier about how good that is for memory.
It's good for memory, but it's a slog. It's simply that there are no quick ways. You know, there are no quick ways of learning. Mm. It's just a slog. You have to learn. You've got to get down to it and learn it, you know. And that's when you think you know it, you find out in the rehearsal room that you don't know it. So it's an ongoing process.
And it must be wonderful. It must be wonderful, sorry, as the play plays out and you really bond with your fellow actors and actresses, that sort of symbiosis must be wonderful.
Yes, that is fabulous. And it's also wonderful when you feel you can start flying now, you know, that you're not sort of so tied to the script that you... But you have to think about words so much, you know, that they just come, you know, second nature. And it's wonderful when that starts happening, I must say. But, it's not easy to get there.
Tell us a little bit more about getting on stage, and I'm sure you're immune to it now, or maybe not, about how, I mean, you are being judged every time you stand up there. How do you get your mind around that? Or are you just so immersed in your character that you don't think about it?
Yes, you know, I mean, every night is different. You know, it is, you know, you realize that you know, Callas says it in the play, you're going to stand up here naked and let people judge you. You better not have too thin a skin, you know. But, of course, artists do have thin skin, so it's difficult. But every night is different, and some nights you think, the audience hates me, they absolutely hate me, and other nights you think, no, that's great, they like me, you know. But you just have to get on with it, you know, and not think about that, you know. It's sort of a little voice in the back of your head, but while you're actually doing the performance, you have so much to deal with that you can't allow that sort of intrusion, you know.
And what are your thoughts about what you're seeing in the theatrical space in South Africa today? Does it excite you?
And for me, it's very exciting. I think there's a lot of exciting stuff happening. And what's especially exciting for me is that audiences, you know, everybody was so negative after COVID and said, people are not going to come back to theatre, you know, it's dead and blah, blah. And it's not that people are actually dying to come back to theatre and coming to see serious work, you know, which is wonderful. I've noticed this, that there is almost a bit of a renaissance in the audience, so that's very exciting. And I think we are doing extremely exciting work in this country. Really do. I think we're doing very good work, you know, where arts are not a priority in this country, as we know.
No.
It always is the stepchild.
You versus a flagpole.
Yeah.
Flagpole wins.
Yeah.
Sandra, it was wonderful talking to you. Really, I think everybody should go and see Masterclass. Just remind us how long it's on for in Johannesburg.
It's on until the 2nd of April. Then there are matinees on a Saturday and a Sunday.
Okay.
And every night at 8 o'clock, otherwise.
Well, everybody should see it. I went to see it with my mum and a friend, and we walked away very moved and singing all of your praises. So thank you for bringing that beauty and your passion onto the stage with us. Sandra Prinsloo, thank you.